reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. I want to read that verse again. That's from Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the love of the world. Often those who love God have to tread a very different pathway than do those who love the world. We've been discussing the very difficult and sometimes offensive question of women working. I have a confession to make to you, my listeners. I don't know all the answers. Sometimes I undoubtedly come across as a woman who thinks that she's got all the answers. Well, I'm telling you right now, I haven't. I have never even thought of many of the issues that are presented to me in the mail. I am not divinely inspired. Quite often, I'm mistaken. Sometimes, alas, I'm dead wrong. Did you know that? You did. Probably it was much more obvious to you than it was to me. But I want to read a letter that reminded me of how wrong I can be and how much data I sometimes leave out in considering a question of concern to my listeners. Another good letter from one of my listeners. You are holding up the standard which we modern women must conform our lives to, even when it makes us uncomfortable. I always listen with a wry smile on my face whenever you point out the inadvisability of a wife and mother working outside her home. Am I wrong, or do you go so far as to say or imply that this is an act of disobedience to God's word? I am a sister of yours in Christ, of African-American descent. As such, I come from a long line of women who had to work away from home all day, then come home and do the necessary work and nurturing to keep their own families going. The women in my family must have done a faithful, cheerful job of both, because very good examples have been passed down to me by aunts, grandmothers, and mother. Those who were slaves, my grandparents' grandparents, were coerced into such double labor. But even after slavery had officially ended, unwritten laws existed throughout the South and elsewhere that made it impossible for the average black man, husband, or father to secure the kind of job and earn the kind of wages that would have made it possible for his wife to remain at home and care for his children. He scratched out a living, and she went into Miss Ann's kitchen to cook, clean, wash, iron, and take care of her employer's children. But her homecoming each evening, tired though she was a joyful event. Many of these women, my foremothers among them, could say, "My feets is tired, but my soul is rested." Perhaps the issue is how a woman handles her outside labor. And I'm still reading the letter here. This is not Elizabeth Elliott talking. This is my correspondent. Do the children know they come high on the priority list? Is she emotionally there for them? Does her husband agree with, appreciate, support her efforts to help earn their living? One can be a stay-at-home wife and still disobey Scripture by going from house to house, being a busybody in other people's business. One can also pattern after the virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31, who seemed to be somewhat of an entrepreneur, businesswoman, an excellent wife, and caretaker of her home and children. It can be done and has been done well by many women down through the ages. All things being equal, the ideal is for a woman to keep her own home and raise her own children. But don't forget, all things are not equal. The Christian woman who must work to support or help support her family can do that in a joyful, God-honoring way that would bring no reproach on her profession of faith. Well, thank you so much, Carlotta. That's a letter that brought up a subject that had never once crossed my mind. The position of slave women by the thousands here in our own country. And of course, this has been what's happening over the centuries in many other countries. So could I possibly say that those women are being disobedient to God? I have to go back to Titus 2, 3 to 5, in which Paul tells Titus that he must teach the older women in the church to teach the younger women. And one of the things that we older women are commanded to teach younger women is to love your husbands, to love your children, and to stay home. So I have to keep sounding the clarion as often as I can. If there's any way in the world for you to stay home, please stay home with your children. But as this woman, Carlotta, has pointed out, there are many for whom there really is no way. But before you conclude that you're one of those women, I would challenge you to pray that God will show you, in case God might have an answer that you haven't thought of. I've had two letters from women who had worked outside the home, and they now have a typing business at home. One of them said, "Each time I feel moved to go find an additional job outside to make ends meet, I feel a hand on my chest holding me back. So far, the money is there when the bills must be paid. But each month is a real test for me to trust him without worry." And the other letter said, "My pastor's wife and I agree that the major reason for our impatience and grouchiness toward those we love is a wrong and selfish reaction to weariness and the constant need to postpone or completely neglect things we'd like to do for ourselves, such as read a book, too tired to keep our eyes open." Now that's a thought that is worth pondering. Perhaps there are some listening to me now who need to confess impatience and grouchiness toward their husbands and children, which come because of a wrong and selfish reaction to weariness. When we're weary, we are strongly tempted to self-pity, aren't we? Strongly tempted to take the view that the world takes, you owe it to yourself. It's your body, it's your life. Don't get caught in a compassion trap. Well, think about that in the presence of the Lord. Go to Calvary. Ask the Lord if there's some wicked way in you, in your heart, in your attitude. Thank you so much for the three of you who've written those letters. And Carlotta sent me also a description of a holy woman, which I think is well worth your hearing. A holy woman is a woman who loves and serves the Lord. She quietly, joyfully serves those around her, husband, children, family, friends. She prays for them, often many times each day. She loves them deeply and is concerned about their everyday needs and their long-range and eternal welfare. She gets up early to meet her Maker in preparation for her long and busy day. She is joyful for the opportunity to meet with him to prepare for that day ahead. She is at peace, though things are usually far from peaceful. She has a strength given to her as God can only give to a woman, wife, mother, friend. She realizes that her work is not the outside job that takes up a part of her day. Her work is to create an oasis at home for her loved ones to gladly retreat to each day after spending a day in life's desert. That oasis can go with her wherever she goes in the form of encouragement, caring, help, laughter, friendship. She understands that she has been given a special privilege to help care for and serve others, even though the work is often tiring and hard. As a young mother, she accepts peacefully that her desire to pursue her own interests is postponed until another time. She has only a few very short years to serve her family, particularly her children, and make an eternal difference in their lives. Her gift to God and to her loved ones is her trusting submission to his will, knowing that he will accomplish greater things with her in his own way than she could ever do on her own. She understands that her attitudes play a large part in setting the pace at home. She can create an atmosphere of patience, peace, and acceptance, or she can lash out in frustration regularly and create havoc. She chooses peace. The small flowers and even the grown ones that are her responsibility cannot flourish any other way. Submission is the key to all of this. We really have a blessed responsibility, and what we allow God to do in and with our lives can change people and circumstances permanently for the better. A holy woman makes a difference, and who else can do it but us? Mothers, wives, women. I want to be one of these. That's from Carlotta Andrews. Thank you so much, Carlotta of Topeka, Kansas. And may God make us holy men and holy women. And you men who are listening, whose wives are helping to bring in the income, ask God to help you to be the loving husband, the sacrificially loving husband that your wife needs when she comes home tired from a long day's work. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.